Here it comes, the latest people, trends, and news on sustainable living in and around our corner of the country. Down to Earth with Mrs. Green, Spotlight on the Southwest. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody. You are listening to Down to Earth with Mrs. Green, Spotlight on the Southwest. I'm Gina Murphy-Darling, and I thank you for listening and for being a part of Mrs. Green's world. So today we're going to find out about what's happening on Main Street. And I think the show may bring you some surprises because Pima Association of Governments has lots going on. And we thank them for their support of Mrs. Green's world and always for the important work they do for our community. A lot of what they do is takes a long time. Sometimes it can be behind the scenes. Sometimes it can just be bringing all the partners together. So kudos to them and their team. And right here in studio, I'm going to thank in person the person joining me in studio to tell us all about what's happening on Main Street is Britton Dornquist. Did I say that right?
You did it perfectly.
Okay. He's the RTA, which is Regional Transportation Authority, program manager from where else but Main Street Business Assistance Program. And I just love that it's what's happening on Main Street. Welcome, Britton, and thanks for being here
with
us.
Thanks so much. Love to be here. Thanks.
So we're not just going to talk about like what's happening on Main Street. That's a great, clever title, by the way, Marketing Genius. But what is this program, the Business Assistance Program, about?
So the Main Street Program was developed as part of the Regional Transportation's 20-year plan, and it was a long process that the community went through, and they determined very early on that there was a component that was part of the economic development component that needed to focus on small business. We're doing projects all over the region, from road projects to transit projects, and in some cases, these projects directly affect the business community. It's just sort of the nature of the beast. And they were very forward-thinking, and they said, you know, we estimate that we'll work with close to 10,000 businesses. We've already worked with just under 7,000, and we're only 10 years in, all across the region on these projects. So they said, we need to put a program together that will address the needs of this business community, you know, the small business community.
And one of the things that I think is noteworthy that we talked about before we went on air, and I think it's great and I have to do a shout out to it, I always resented as a parent, I admit this, people who were trying to give me advice as a parent who had no kids. I'm like, yeah, easy for you to say. But you were a small business owner.
That's correct.
And to me, having someone in that role, there's nothing wrong with having worked in a government or a structured environment, but you are one. You have been one. So you know the pain, the challenges, the everyday triumphs. Let's talk about those triumphs too.
Probably more so than most. Yeah. Almost 25 years, I've owned a number of different companies. And so they often say that you can learn a lot by just doing.
Truer words were never spoken.
And you just, it's incredible when you get involved in whatever company you're involved with, how much you learn, and you can never stop learning and changing and growing and morphing. I'm a graduate of the U of A entrepreneurship program, which is one of the best entrepreneurship programs in the country. And I've spent a lot of time in the business community, my whole life in the business community. I still joke. They still don't know quite what to do with me over there at PAG sometimes because I am still this kind
you
of small
like
business
a
rebel.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know,
good.
More efficiency, you know, faster, quicker, smarter, less bureaucracy, et cetera.
Let's move this forward.
That's right. Let's get her done.
But so, what are some of the nuts and bolts of the program? And like, I don't want to ask a three-part question, which I'm known for, but not just the parts, but at what point? Like, do you go and focus on a particular area that's under construction? So what are the parts and how does that play out?
Yeah, so our program really is broken into essentially three key areas. We have essentially what we call a business outreach liaison. This is somebody that works with the team that is designed. I'll use a road project as an example. Putting together a big road project takes a long time. So we have somebody that is involved with the team right from the get-go, and they literally go out into the trench. We go a quarter mile around the given project. So let's say the project's a mile and a half road widening. We'll reach out to all the businesses in that area, a whole entire quarter mile around that. So it could be anywhere from, 50 businesses to as many as 100. When we did the streetcar, our database had almost 900 businesses associated.
That was a bigger
loop. That was a big one, right. So we're currently working. We've worked with about 7,000 businesses, 60 different projects in the region, everything from small projects to big ones. But the outreach liaison is this key person who builds this relationship. You can imagine, as a small business owner yourself, somebody walking through the door and saying, I'm from the government, I'm here to help you, right? And
come right in.
Right. And I say that in a kind of a joking, jest kind of way. But there is, that business is built so much on relationships and trust.
Totally.
That is what it's all about. So we establish that relationship early on, and we're telling them about the project and what's coming. It's not only just information delivery, but taking information back to the project team and saying, you might not know this, or maybe they have a specific question that requires another professional within the team. So we do a lot of triaging of that information and disseminating the information.
And that all starts with the project
That starts with that project liaison. The second part we have is a separate group of professionals. And again, everybody that works for our team are private sector consultants. I'm the only person that is, quote unquote, sort of a government person.
That they stole from the private sector.
Yeah, exactly, yep. Exactly. But we hire independent contractors who have all worked for years. Our team has about over 200 years of small business consulting experience on it, and about 120 years now of construction mitigation experience because of all the projects we've been on. So that direct consulting team then has services available to the business that we provide. And again, all of this is at no cost to the business. And again, it's free of charge in every sense of the word. So if a business would like us to come in and work with them behind the scenes on their business in preparation for the mitigation of this construction impact, we have professionals in a variety of different areas that can offer those services. And they take advantage of that.
So can you give me one example of a business that said, I need this?
Yeah, so we actually go through a sort of a formal process of doing an intake to better understand where the business is at. First of all, no two businesses are the same. No two businesses are affected the same
by
the project. Some businesses will be down and some won't, and everything in between. So we do an intake process to better understand the things that we can do and the things that we can't do. There are certain things within our state constitution around the gift clause where we're not allowed to write you a check for any sort of, lost sales or pain and suffering any of that kind of stuff. So we have to help them understand that. Then we do a formal assessment. I call it sort of a business health check to better understand the business, where they're at. A business that's been around for 25 years is going to be in a different place than one that just opened last year in a variety of different ways. It's through that process we learn more about the business, and then we put together a summary and recommendation report that essentially says, these are some things that we could focus on that can help you in mitigating the construction impacts as it relates to your business. We also sign a non-disclosure contract that's a part of what we do. So we actually can't tell you the people we've worked with. Businesses can share that if they choose to, but we don't. And so the small business consultants then will work with the businesses in a variety of areas. Marketing tends to be a very heavy emphasis. Operations, financial also follow very closely behind that. But literally, we've delivered about close to 700 deliverables, tangible consulting deliverables to businesses to help them get through the project. And some of those can be really very simple and some of them are quite complex. So that's the consulting side of it. And then the last is sort of what we call business resources. On our website, we have business tips, what to expect during construction, how to deal with different aspects of communication. We have a resource directory we put together for our region that has about 2,500 small business resources in it. It's a 30-page directory that we update regularly. That's available for small businesses. We're one part of the solution for the business community to getting resources and preparedness for this project. But there are lots of other resources out there for them, and we want to help them understand where those lie as well. So those are really the three components, the three legs of the stool, if you may.
And it makes sense about marketing being in the high end? Because if it's going to impact the traffic flow, which in many cases it does, how do I keep my business afloat, innovative, creative ways? I really didn't think of that because you don't want to say, here's the death knell. Because if you have a good business, I mean, I've lived here 41 years. If I want to go somewhere and there's construction, I just follow the signs and figure out how to get in.
Well, and what we see is every business can be affected differently by the very nature of their business. If you're a business that is driven primarily by that sort of drive-by traffic, so examples would be the fast food industry, some restaurants, gas stations, some retail. There's certain types of business that are really dependent upon vehicular traffic by their business. If you do that project, you can typically see reductions of 30, 40, up to 50% traffic volume. We all know that, we just sort of avoid the area where the cones are.
First thought I had
exactly.
Is like, okay, don't go
so
on
those
to Sun Boulevard.
We'll see a lot more challenge. Professional services tend to not see the same kinds of drops. You tend not to give up your professional service, your doctor, your lawyer, your accountant. In many cases, professional services, like perhaps, you know, you just love this particular dry cleaner you've been going to, or you have an auto mechanic that you love, et cetera, et cetera. So again, it varies pretty dramatically. So part of our job is to help people understand that. What is your market? What is your niche? What could you expect? I could probably write on a piece of paper every business in a corridor, what we would know them to be down within probably 5 percentage points just from all the years of doing this. And some people could get through without any challenge, without doing anything above and beyond. Anybody can survive a 5 or 10% drop typically. We see it with the economy all the time and other things that come in are just part of doing business. It's when you move in that 20, 30, 40% range. We've had businesses been off as much as 50%. Then you're in crisis kind of level. So, and again, length of the project, time of the project, what other aspects and factors in there. So our job is, it's hard enough being in business, as we discussed prior to the broadcast.
Totally.
Our job is we don't want any given public transportation project to be the thing that pushes them off the edge. It's, you're going to be juggling all those challenges as part of being a small business owner, but we don't want the project to be the reason that, you closed your doors. And we've been very successful working with the community and preparing them, helping them understand what it is. Knowledge is very part of that. And then giving them tools and resources at no cost to help them get through it.
And it really matters when I think about probably one of the most controversial in my lifetime here in 41 years is the streetcar. Mm. I mean, no question about it. It was houses divided, arguments in Rotary clubs and dinner parties. And there were those of us that said, build it and they will come.
Yeah.
And those of us that said, it'll never make money. It's not going to happen. Are you kidding me? It's not long enough, on and on. And to me, the facts are there, the real facts really are there, because look what's happened. And a piece of that to our downtown is without question the streetcar.
Yeah, it is. And it's amazing. We get people that come in from all over the country that are considering putting that type of transit in. And they've come. In fact, I just was meeting with the El Paso news. Two news stations came over there because they're building their streetcar, and they sort of wanted to see what the end game. They're in the weeds right now during construction. It's challenging. It's very challenging. But at the end, there's a lot of great opportunities. So when we took them around and showed them all of the things that are going on, the literally billions of dollars of reinvestment into our downtown and along the streetcar line and all the things that have come of that, they were blown away. They were shocked that this all was sort of transformative. That didn't exist, those businesses over there. And they found it really exciting. And I'll have to see how that news story ended up coming out on that end. But I think they came with a different sense of it. But transit-oriented development is a real thing. And it does have great benefit to the community, no matter how far you live away from it. We've often found that the closer you live to the streetcar, the more people are sort of aware of it and have a different perspective on it. If you're, last time I was downtown was paying a parking ticket, that kind of perspective. And so, you ought to go check it out and go down there.
You ought to go check it out.
It's transformative in terms of how different it is. People are just amazed.
It really is. And it can be a whole different kind of fun if you're going to the theater and you want to eat down at the Mercado
and then
have a couple of cocktails and then get on the streetcar without risk and then go to the play or to the Fox, whatever, not have any more cocktails.
You could do a whole show just
home.
On the streetcar.
you really could.
Because there are so many great things about how sustainable it is, how green it is, how good it is for a whole variety of different reasons. But
it's really, I mean, to me, I can't help but reflect on the vision of the people that put this 20-year plan together, looking into the future and then putting something called a business assistance program into it.
We were way ahead of
Critical.
The game. I get calls from all over the country. In fact, we did a couple years ago, we worked closely with the city of Tucson looking at programs around the country. And what we found very quickly is that 10 years ago when this program came to be and I was brought in to write the business plan for this essentially, they understood that there were impacts and there were certain mitigation efforts. But what I can tell you is fast forward 10 years, there's a much higher awareness. People have a different appreciation for the business community, the small business community. It's interesting you were recording this. This is National Small Business Week this week.
I
so
love it.
Perfect timing.
It is perfect
exactly.
timing.
Exactly. That's something that's been around for 50 years.
The foundation of the economy in our country, small business owners collectively.
It is. And people have an affinity for small business in a different kind of way. Every community has them. And every community embraces them in different ways. But there's been a rising interest in the preservation and the success of their existence in a variety of ways. So I get more and more calls about what can we do and what did you do? And we only have this much money or time. Are there certain things and strategies you can help us with? And I spent a lot of time working with other parts of the country about it. So we were way ahead of the game in terms of all the different services and things that we provide. We're still always, like a small business person, always looking for ways to improve.
Right, right.
We're at a 10-year point, and we're doing sort of a review, an audit, if you may, of our program, meeting with our clients again. We have a very robust feedback. Your customers will tell you what they want. They'll tell you what they like, what they don't like. Can you do this? Can you tweak this? So we have, you know, hundreds and hundreds of testimonials that have come in. We do these sort of mini focus groups, if you may. And if you ask them, they'll tell you. So we just went to a whole new system where they can give their feedback electronically, anonymously, instantly, and it just takes that stuff right up into the cloud.
And what you were talking about is the ever-changing landscape. And there's an example of it. It's like, no, you don't have to fill out this form. And yes, you can do this in a second. And
we used to do the form.
As a small business owner, as a small business, that could have been like last week. The small business owner doesn't have the bandwidth and yet has to compete in that same market.
Yeah.
So it's a constant, even for Mrs. Green's world. I mean, we have to know if everything is, you know, how are we doing on digital, because everything is happening now on a handheld or electronic device.
Just so think about it. They're celebrating the advancement of the smartphone. I mean, the iPhone literally came out 10 years ago. But if you tell people that, they're almost shocked by that because it's such an integral place and the way we do business. And social media marketing and all of the interaction of that has transformed the way people do business. Yelp reviews are so powerful for certain industries.
Totally.
And so there's a complete shift in the way people do business in many different ways. And we're sort of having to stay on the cutting edge of that as well, just from the very nature of if you're going to go in and help people and help them understand what is coming and to provide some solutions, you too have to be on that edge. And we're always looking for ways to improve, make our experience better for them, ask them, how can we improve it? That's just small business 101.
And it's really good business. And I don't think I'll ever do a show with anybody from PAG and ever talk about the RTA without talking about the road that they put in on the east side from the whole that cluster of Sabino Canyon, Tanque Verde, Grant, the big merge, and how they expanded that loop to go straight off of Sabino Canyon Road. Now, as a you know, I'm north of Tucson, you have no idea how many times I've used it. And it's not just faster, which matters to me.
Sure.
We're all in a hurry, right?
Sure.
It is greener because it controls traffic flow much better.
The longer you sit in an intersection, you know that it's not
idling,
good.
Idling, not good.
Exactly.
And it's safer.
Oh, yeah. It's that's safer. A huge
it's
part.
Beautiful. So to that, have to put businesses to be a part of that, and then now we're going past those businesses because I used to avoid that. I hated that corner. So now it's like, now I say, oh, I can just go straight and cross there and come out on Kolb.
We were out there years before the project having conversations about that project coming. Then, of course, as it got closer and closer, we were keeping them informed about what was happening, making sure that they knew, and then that there were open houses and get your questions answered. And then during construction, we were there through all of that, especially at the intersection right there at Tanque Verde and Sabino Canyon.
Gosh, it's crazy.
It's a whole different. Yeah, and there's a lot of businesses there.
A lot of businesses in that one area. Yeah.
And they got through it. And they got to the other side of it, the second part of the road that got constructed. Not so many businesses down there, although there's a great pet resort down there, and then it sort of plops out.
On that end, it's different.
Exactly.
Different.
But the bottom line with that project is that it actually just won a local award for best project at the APWA, and I think it might have just won at the state level. It's a really great project, the way they did what they did. It's
and there were hundreds of people there. I said to Sheila Storm, I said, what a party. I mean, it was like, and there were neighborhood people. People walked, people rode their bikes.
Well, we opened up the road. We literally cleared out the ribbon cutting. And then they turned on the signals, and I was standing there with a number of people. And people literally, it was like they knew that road was there for
and they
a year.
Wait.
They
were
just waiting for
that.
And they just all turned on it. They were honking and putting their thumbs up and waving.
This is not the end of the parade. It's I turned
there
around and I stayed.
Bicyclists and pedestrians.
It was a great celebration. Yeah.
Multimodal is very important to the RTA. It's not just all about roads. Many of us use cars a lot, but alternate modes are very important. Transit and bike and pedestrian is really
and
a key part of it.
And that's all taken into consideration. So I want to ask you two more questions popped up, and it's just like, oh my gosh, we're going to just keep moving, Gina. One of them is when you have like a challenge, and I want to do it in some strength building way, but when a business or businesses or coalition of businesses say, this just can't happen, we don't want it, whatever, how can you walk them through it? And I want to play the role of, I am a small business owner and I understand it. I am also a citizen of this community, so I want the roads to flow. I want the traffic jams to be mitigated. So there's a part of me, it's like, progress is critical.
You answered your question right there in a great way, because it is true. Business people understand the importance of that commerce, that ability to move their customers, patrons, freight, all of that kind of stuff. It's interesting when you go into a corridor, they're kind of torn at times between they understand the big picture of this for regional mobility, for safety improvements. They've seen it. When you have a business and you look out on that street every day, you witness and you see the things that are occurring. And then on the same token, they're nervous, they're scared, they don't want to lose their business. They have all the things that sort of run with that unknown. Probably about 96-98% of all the business we work with have never been through a major improvement project, They've never been through a transportation improvement project. So it's part of that fear of the unknown that comes with it. So oftentimes in that process of our outreach, we help them understand the project. There are FAQs, there's information about the project, sometimes renderings of what it's going to look like when it's done. And that isn't to say there won't be a few people that will always remain opposed to it, but the reality is it's a pretty small percentage as a whole of the business community. Even though it's difficult on them, even though it's tough, many, many, many understand that they got to get through it and that it'll be good for the region, for the local area. And it's not just the road itself. There's also a lot of benefits with it. A lot of times roads don't have much in the way of a bicycle path along it, right? So when they build these roads, they give them a much wider, typically it's 6 feet, sometimes 7 feet of additional bikeways, which is always great for the cyclists. The sidewalks themselves, many of the sidewalks that exist in these business districts aren't ADA compliant.
Right,
they're
right.
not wide enough. They're not safe enough. there's oftentimes aspects that are associated with transit in itself, and the ability to have a safe bus pull out in a shelter. And then there's, of course, the green space. As you know, that many all these projects get an upgrade within the corridor right. in terms of that. And ideally, you hope that they're a better looking, a better functioning, not a hope, they are, a safer environment for all those involved. So most of the businesses get that, and very few will dig their feet in and say, I don't want any change. I want to go back to, you
There's
know,
always those people.
Horse and buggy
like,
or whatever.
Those
sure, of course.
Oh my gosh.
But a key part of that is listening to them and understanding and then helping them understand the bigger picture and different aspects of it, and also say, you can get through this and we're here to help, and let us show you, you know, from all our experience, the things that you can do in preparation. Businesses that prepare and businesses that stick their head in the sand and do nothing about it are two different, you know, breeds.
Two different animals and probably have two different outcomes.
Exactly. Yes. It's like anything in life. You
yes.
know, the more prepared you are, the better you are to address the challenges that come your way, no matter what they are. And this is just another challenge. Like the economy was a challenge, right?
Yes.
9/11 was a challenge when that occurred in terms of what happened to the business.
2008 was a challenge, and we're still talking
bubble.
About it.
Yeah, right. All those are challenges. So you just get to the other side, and our job is to help them get there.
And the other thing that, as you were talking about it, that it becomes so apparent, if you can live through the pain and the suffering and make it through to the other side, or whatever impact it has on your business, it ultimately always, almost always, benefits the business because it brings more traffic. The flow is better. It's a cleaner city, which matters. Tourists. Mm-hmm. I mean, all of those things weigh into, if not, we die. I mean, it's a dead city that doesn't improve.
No potholes.
That's how I feel. Yeah, no. Don't even get me started. I don't.
No potholes. A brand new street in every sense of the word.
Which we are famous for. Let's not get off on that. But that's not your department, so it's okay. It's not PAG. Is there anybody that... Is the parameter strictly within that quarter mile radius that you were talking about? So there's no like application and you qualify and you don't.
We work with business associations. We also work with nonprofits that are in that corridor. And it's sort of, we have a tool that we enter in that is based upon all these variables that helps us allocate the hours. We want to give the most amount of time and energy to those who are the greatest impact. Everybody qualifies for the services. So even if you're a block behind, you're in a type of business that's going to have minimal impact, probably more inconvenience than true bottom line impact.
Right, right.
We still have services that are available, and there are still things that we can do to improve your business. Some would say at times we're kind of an economic development organization of sorts because we're helping businesses grow. There's nothing like a crisis to motivate you. You know, as a business owner, it's easy to get comfortable in what you're doing.
Yes.
And if you're successful and you're growing and you're able to pay your bills and you're paying yourself and you've got good staff and all that kind of stuff, sometimes it's easy to get complacent. And what we
this
find
will up your game.
Right. So no better than to bring those challenges forward and look for ways to be a better business in all ways. And ideally, hiring more people in the community, bringing more jobs to the region. I always look at it, for every job that we don't lose in a corridor is another job we don't have to replace in another way, shape, or form.
Truly.
And so that's just a big part of what we do.
And just to kind of recap for our listeners, the name of this is the Main Street Business Assistance Program. It is indeed part of the 20-year RTA plan. Yep. We are celebrating 10 years. We're 10 years into it. I personally have seen many improvements.
775 or 80 or 90. I don't know. That number just keeps ticking.
And 7,000 projects. It's like this is a really big deal for our community. And, of course, I would get in big trouble if I didn't remember. There's an app. You actually have a website dedicated to this, which I'm reading right from your card, is mainstreetinfo.org.
That's
great. So people can find out about it. To know more about PAG, you can find out at pagregion.com, Facebook PAG Region, and Twitter PAG Region. I don't know if you have your own Facebook page or is it all part
you
of
know,
the...
You know, we've not done the social media from that perspective because the reality is everybody that needs to know who we are, we go meet them literally face to face.
It's B2B.
Exactly.
It's,
so it's not like I'm promoting it outside the corridor.
Exactly. So it doesn't even make sense. Next week, Mimi Kumler from Tucson Medical Center, celebrating women's health. Love them. And Laura Coffey and Karen Hollish, This Old Dog, The Ultimate Recycling. It is going to be one of my best shows ever, and I don't say that lightly. So everybody stay here with the big green thought and make it a great green week.